Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 20, The Dynasty of Puru. And we'll start with text number 1. Sri Bhadarayani Uvacha Purarvamsam Pravakshami Yatra Yato Sibharata Yatra Rajarshayo Vamsya Brahma Vamsyas Chajajire. Sri Bhadarayani Avacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Puro Vamsyam. The dynasty of Maharaj Puru. Pravakshami. Now I shall narrate. Yatra. In which dynasty? Jata Asi. You were born. Bhat Bharata. A Maharaj Parikshit. Descendant of Maharaj Bharata. Yatra, in which dynasty? Raja Rishaya. All the kings were saintly. Vamsya, one after another. Brahma Vamsya, many Brahmana dynasties. Cha, also. Jajire. Grew up. Shukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Maharaj Bharata, I shall now describe the dynasty of Puru in which you were born, which many saintly kings appeared, and from which many dynasties of Brahmanas began. Purport. There are many historical instances by which we can understand that from Kshatriyas, many Brahmins have been born, and that from Brahmanas, many Kshatriyas have been born. The Lord Himself says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:13, Chatura Vanyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. Therefore, regardless of the family in which one takes birth, when one is qualified with the symptoms of a particular section, he is to be described accordingly. Yal lakshanam proktam. One's place in the varna division of society is determined according to one's symptoms or qualities. This is maintained everywhere in the shastra. Birth is a secondary consideration. The first consideration is one's qualities and activities. Sri Bhadarani Ravacha Purora Vangsam Pravakshami Yatra Jato Sibharata Yatra Rajarshayo Vangsya Brahma Vamsyash Jai Jire. Shukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Bharata, I shall now describe the dynasty of Puru in which you were born, which many saintly kings appeared, and from which many dynasties of Brahmanas began. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Shrayan svadamo viguna paradharmat sunustitat svedharme nidinam shrayak paradharmo bhayavaha. That it is better to perform one's own prescribed duties, even imperfectly, than perform someone else's duty. Destruction of the cause of one's own duty is better than to take someone else's duty, because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. In other words, our first business is to find out what our duty to Krishna is. Previously, people, it wasn't difficult to understand, because people had a certain mentality and a certain psychophysical nature. Right now, Kalo Sudra Sambhava, we've all been born as Shudras, and according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by modern education, we've been turned into less than animals. So, by the process of Krishna consciousness, one can certainly elevate one's consciousness from the modes of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness, the transcendence, but that doesn't mean our body changes. Like it would be very unusual for Nitya Seva to become a Kshatriya, Devi Dasi. Fight with a sword in her hand against a tiger in the forest. So, although Nitya Seva Dasi and others can become a pure devotee of Krishna, a pure Brahman or Brahmini, still that would make her, or even a Kshatriya. We may develop into the mode of passion and become a good manager, but our body wouldn't allow us to do the work of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya is Sorya, Teja, Driti, Daksha, Yude, Chapi, Palayanam, Danam, Ishvara, Bhavascha, Kshatra, Karma, Sabhavajam. According to the Bhagavad Gita, there are certain qualities that Kshatriyas have. Just like Brahmins have certain qualities. Samadama tapa socham shanti arjumam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. To actually be a Brahman, to be situated in Brahman, because that's what a Brahman means, one who's actually trying to situate oneself in Brahman, in their full realization of one's eternal existence, there are certain qualities that have to be developed, like sama, having the mind completely balanced, undisturbed in any circumstance. And Dhamma, completely engaging oneself in Krishna's service, only doing one's duty and nothing else. So Chum, being clean internally and externally, having no thoughts other than Krishna's pleasure internally, and always keeping the body clean in so many different ways. Shantira, always being peaceful and forgiving, not holding grudges against anyone. Shanta Eva. Jnana, having all knowledge theoretically of the reality of our existence and the reality of Krishna and how the material energy is working. Be Jnana, and having realized that knowledge, experiencing it at every moment. Astikyam, and always following religious principles. This is how the Brahmins work. So to become a Brahmin, it's not simply getting a sacred thread, it's getting the qualities of an actual Brahmin. And when we hear about the qualities of a Kshatriya, we wonder who's more exalted, the Kshatriyas or the Brahmins. But actually the Brahmins are more exalted, obviously, not obviously, because they have control of their mind and senses. Well, the Kshatriyas, they also have control of their mind and senses, but not the same way as the Brahmins do. Sorya, heroism. To step out in the front of a battle and not being afraid of being injured or being killed. Fearless. Sorya, Teja. And having the strength to fight the battle. Not that we step out in the middle of the battle with a sword and we can't even lift the sword. We have to get a crane. That wouldn't be a very tejas. You have to have the power to be a Kshatriya. Driti. And determination. Not that. It's just like when Arjuna was in the kingdom where he was disguised as Brihadbala, as a dancing girl, because he was cursed to become a eunuch for 1 year by Urvasi. So at that time, he had, the year was over, and at that time the Kauravas were attacking the kingdom. And there was a prince, Brihadbala. I think, what was the name of the prince? Does anyone know? Anyhow, there was a prince. And he was bragging how he would actually go out and defend the kingdom. And that no one should be fearful. He was giving assurance to everyone. On the other side, he was going to go out and fight alone against Karna, Bhishma, Drona, all kinds of Maharatis. He promised he'd go there and defeat them all. So as soon as he got on, and he decided he'd have one charioteer, Brihadbala, who was Arjuna. That's the charioteer. Arjuna was eunuch. He was teaching, what was her name? Uttara. Uttara. Yeah, well, yeah.
They went there and they said, we have to defend our cows against the Duryodhana and the whole,
the whole Kurava army. So, Uttara was her brother, and Brihadbala was the dancing teacher of Uttara. And so, Arjuna, the curse was over, or at least the curse was over. The year was over, so Arjuna was back to his original form again. But still, he was dressed as a eunuch. He was being the charioteer of this prince. Yeah, exile. They didn't have to be in disguise anymore, because the idea was if they found them, they'd have to go back to the forest for another 7 years, whatever it was, 14 years. So it was all over, and so Arjuna is driving the chariot, and this prince, Uttara, the brother of Uttara, was riding. Was ready to face the whole Kaurava army by himself. But as soon as he saw it, he got out of the chariot and started to run the opposite direction. So then Arjuna grabbed him and put him back on the chariot and have him as the chariot driver, because Arjuna had recovered all his arms that he had hidden, and now he fought against the Kaurava army by himself. So it is not so easy to be a Kshatriya. You actually have to have the determination. If you see the army coming at you, then you have to fight against it. You can't get out of the chariot and start running the opposite way. Mommy, help! Save me! Mommy won't help you. So this driti, this determination, is also necessary. And daksha, one has to be expert. Not that I'm a martial artist and I know how to beat people up, but I don't know how to do anything else. You have to be expert in so many different ways. Yude chapipulayana, and be able to fight properly. Dhanam, you have to be generous. Being willing to give in charity. Yude chapipulayana, dhanam ishvara. And the power to control others. Not just to force them to do things, but actually to control them. Bhavascha. So this is the nature of a Kshatriya. It can't be imitated. One actually has to have the qualities. Now, only the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas are mentioned of having qualities. And then the others that Krishi Goraksha Vanijam Vaisha Karma Svabhavajam. That the Vaishas, Krishi Goraksha Vanijam Vaisha Karma Svabhavajam. Krishi Goraksha Paricharyatmakam Karma Sudrasyapi Svabhavajam. But for the Vaishas, it is Krishi. Does anyone know what Krishi means? Krishi, where does Krishi come from? Have you ever heard this? Do you know anything that has a syllable Krish? Krish? Krishna! Where does Krishna get his name from? What is the relationship between Krishi and Krishna? And the Vaishyas. Krishna was a Vaishya, right? So what's the relationship between it all? So Krishna means to draw, to pull. So what does it mean? The Vaishyas, they pull a plow. So that's why the Krishi means to plow. And Krishna means to pull everyone towards him, because he's all attractive. So that's why it's called Krishna, all attractive. He pulls everything towards him. Krishi Gauraksha. What does Gauraksha mean? What is Raksha? Protect. Yes, protect the cows. Krishi Gauraksha. Vanijam. What is Vanijam? No, not Vani. Vani. It's not, it's Vaniyam, not Vani. There's a Vaniyam. Vaniyam, not Vani. Trade. Business. Vani. Vaishya karma. So the Vaishyas have a certain karma, a certain activity. They plow the field, they protect the cows, and they do trade. The qualities aren't mentioned, because in the mode of ignorance and passion, qualities are not so important. They don't really manifest themselves. Qualities are the higher nature, at least. And then, paricharyatmaka karma, śrudrasya pi subhavajam. So the service to others, that's what the śrudras do. They're told to do something, they do it. That's a śrudra. Now, less than the śrudra, you're told to do something, you do exactly the opposite. So we're aspiring to become good śrudras. Obedient to the higher orders. And the higher orders, the whole idea is to perform yajna vai Vishnu, sacrifice for Vishnu. The caste system is not based upon the higher people in the higher positions in society exploiting others. It's based upon their serving others. The more one wants to exploit, the lower one goes. So therefore it's lower than the Shudras, who don't follow the scriptures, or those who are following the scriptures. They're interested in exploitation. Therefore they're not even included in the Vana and Ashram system. One has to develop the idea of service to Krishna, and Krishna's idea is to serve everyone by elevating them by the process of yajna, sacrifice. And by such development of consciousness, by sacrifice to Krishna, one develops higher consciousness, purified consciousness, and therefore one develops qualities. One is able to control, utilize the mind and senses in Krishna's service, and develops the same qualities, similar qualities to Krishna. Just like if you put the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it becomes just like fire. Now for ourselves, we're neither Brahmins. We can't light sacrifices just by chanting mantras right now. Nor are we Kshatriyas. We don't have the physical capacity. We may run out in the battlefield and get ourselves killed right away. The only thing we've done against the enemy is we wasted one of their bullets. But that's not what a Kshatriya is. It's simply meant to wasting people's bullets. One has to have the ability to actually defend religious principles. Then one can be a Kshatriya. And a Brahmin should know what the religious principles are that are to be defended. And a Vaishya, of course, in the Shudras, they supply the ingredients so that the main purpose of human civilization, which is sacrifice, can actually be executed. But in this age, of course, we have neither the qualities nor we even have the resources to perform sacrifice. Therefore, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nashteva, 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 Gantir Agnita. In this age, the only thing that's possible to elevate ourselves is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Because we don't even there are no kshatriyas. There's no people protecting religious. There's no Brahmins, practically speaking. We're supposed to be the Brahmins. We're supposed to try to become the Brahmins to distribute religious principles so that people can understand how to elevate their consciousness in this age by sacrificing for the Sankirtan movement. But there's the only protection we have is Lord Nrsimhadev, practically speaking. Luckily, the demons are not as strong as they used to be. We don't have anyone like Ravana or something. We have little Ravanas, little Haranyakashipus, but not as powerful. Therefore, we don't need 6-meter kshatriyas to protect us. We just need some intelligence to spread this Hare Krishna movement. And by doing so, it is not that by becoming purified, by chanting Hare Krishna, even coming to the Brahminical platform, liberation platform at the stage of Nishtha, where we no longer misidentify ourselves with this gross and subtle body, and therefore completely utilize whatever we have in Krishna's service. If we come to that platform, still, one may not necessarily be qualified to do the duties of a Brahmin. Even, for instance, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Leela, there are devotees who were like Bhumanli, who was supposedly a Shudra, but he was a greatly elevated Vaishna. But he didn't try to upset the social system and try to act like a Brahmin. No, he was very humble and always presented himself as lower than the lowest, but he was actually more elevated than the highest. And therefore Kalidas went to him to get some remnants of his prasadam. And when he presented to this particular devotee some mangoes that he bought, hoping to get the remnants, he said, "Well, actually, I'm not really worthy to accept a contribution because I'm just a Shudra." But Kalidas, he recited different verses from the Bhagavatam, Ado Hob Bhatta Swapacho To Garyan Ijivagre Vardate Namatubhyam Tapus Tapaste Tahuvo Shasna Arya Brahmanuchora Namagrinanti Yate. That anyone who chants the holy name of Krishna, although he's born as a Swapakacha, a dog eater, still, if he chants purely the holy name, not that someone's eating a dog and you get him to chant a few rounds and then he's more elevated than the highest Brahmin while he's eating the dog foot or something. No, if one can chant purely the holy name in pure ecstasy, Aho bhata svapato to dharyan yajivagre vartate namatub yam, then he's said to be, he's executed all these sacrifices, all these austerities, all bathed in all the holy places, studied all the shastras, because he's self-realized. But Bhumanli said, "Yes, that's true. Anyway, but that doesn't apply to me. I'm still just a Shudra." He said, "If I can, I'd like to offer you some prasadam, but I'm a Shudra, so I can't really, you're a Brahmin, you're a pure Brahmin, I can't really offer you anything. But if you'd be so kind to me, I can arrange that you can go to a nice Brahmin house and get some prasadam." Kalidas said, "It's all right." So he just left the mangoes there. Bhumali's wife prepared the mangoes. He ate the mangoes. His wife got the remnants. They threw the peels outside. Whatever was left over, they threw outside into the garbage. And Kalidas snuck up when no one was looking, when they went back inside, and started to lick whatever was the peels that were left over. It was rolling on the ground in ecstasy that he got the remnants of a pure Brahmin like that, pure devotee. So although Bhumali was actually on the highest level of consciousness, but he didn't try to act outside what was socially considered to be, you know, acceptable. But he wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't thinking, oh, it's unfair. I should have a higher position. I'm a pure devotee. People should respect me more. No, he couldn't care less because he wasn't living on that level of consciousness. He was living in spiritual consciousness. And therefore, it didn't bother him at all. So, if we're bothered by our particular service, by our particular position, it means we're still in material consciousness, that's all. So that's all right. We just don't change our consciousness. Consciousness is changed by Krishna's mercy. It's changed by our trying to change our consciousness by becoming a sincere follower of Krishna and his devotees. And then Krishna, when he sees our sincerity after putting through different tests, then he changes our consciousness. And then one day, if we practice long enough and sincere enough, when we get enough Krishna's mercy, then we'll be on the Brahman platform, on the Nishtha platform, and our devotional service will be unimpeded by any material consideration. We'll be able to remember Krishna under any circumstance. But still, we may continue on doing our same service that we're doing. It wouldn't generally make any difference. But we'll be doing it in pure consciousness, that's all. And that's the advantage of doing things in Krishna consciousness, is that we can become conscious of Krishna. Not materially elevated, we become a prince or a princess. We keep on chanting. If we want to become a prince and princess, maybe in our next lifetime that can be arranged. But that would be very unfortunate. Now we have a few allurements, and we have a hard enough time dealing with them. You become a prince or a princess, you're finished, your spiritual life usually. There's too many allurements. Now we can just dream about something, but because we can't fulfill our dreams, therefore we don't take our dreams that seriously. But if you can actually have the resource to fulfill one's material desires, one can get into a whole lot of trouble. Therefore, very rarely rich people become real devotees of Krishna, sincere devotees. Sometimes the culture is that they give donations to the temple in the hopes of getting bigger money themselves. They put a euro in the kitty, in the box, and pray to Krishna it could become a million. It's like playing roulette or something. But to become a sincere devotee, have the opportunity to sincerely, to focus one's mind upon Krishna, then we're in the best position right now. We don't have so much opulence, and we're not poverty stricken. So therefore we can actually focus our mind upon Krishna without so much disturbance, unless we want to create disturbance for ourselves. That's possible too. If we want to complicate our lives such a way as to make it practically impossible to think about Krishna. That's usually when the devotees say, yeah, I'm going to go out and do a business, I'm going to collect $1 million and I'll give it to Krishna. And they never give anything to Krishna. They go out and make $1 million and that's it. Then they want to make $2 million and $3 million and $4 million and they say, oh, yeah, that's right. I said I was going to give something to Krishna. And they come to the temple and they put $1.25 and a euro and a quarter in the kitty. Say, thank you, Krishna. You're so kind. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Unlimited. Unlimited intelligence. The more intelligence we have coming from Krishna, then didadami buddhi yogam tam, then the more we can act with the required steadiness and enthusiasm in devotional service to actually attract the meditation on Krishna. And we're actually in the bubble of transcendental internal energy. That's what will actually spread the Hare Krishna movement. Not trickery or this and that, but actually when we have the intelligence to actually purely concentrate our surrender to Krishna with enthusiasm. Krishna manifests himself in our heart along with the spiritual kingdom. That's what will spread the Hare Krishna movement, the internal energy of Krishna.
The second question is, I've listened to some, devotee was listening to someone reciting, and there was mentioned that the devotion, bhakti, that's superior to intelligence, that by intelligence we cannot reach, and so on.
No, by intelligence we can reach bhakti. This is called buddhi yoga.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, so I was wondering.
No, you require buddhi yoga. We need the intelligence to connect with Krishna. Without intelligence, we're not going to connect with Krishna. We'll connect with our senses. So therefore it's called buddhi yoga. The intelligence that we're supposed to connect with Krishna through devotional service, that's called buddhi yoga. And without that, we'll connect with our senses for sense gratification. Anything else? Yes.
How do we then get the mercy of Krishna?
Surrender to Krishna's instructions. Find some instruction that Krishna wants us to do. Find something that Krishna wants us to do. And do that, that we can do. That's going to be useful. And do that with enthusiasm. In spite of any obstacle that may be there. Serve Krishna with enthusiasm. And when Krishna sees our sincerity, then he blesses us. Tesham eva nukamparatam ham agyana jamtamaha. When Krishna, out of compassion for them, I dwell in their heart, destroy the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. So when Krishna sees we're sincerely trying to serve him, then he'll benedict us with transcendental consciousness. He'll purify us. So we'll be able to understand and experience things more in Krishna consciousness. So we have to hear what we're supposed to do, figure out what we're supposed to do, and then do that for Krishna. And then Krishna will help. Anything else? Kala Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai.